Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Well, despite all of the volatility that we saw over the year that was, markets, equity markets that is, did rather well for the most part during 2019. In fact, we saw double-digit gains for many other markets, many of the major markets, and even the Straits Times Index here in Singapore eking out a near 5% year-to-date gain. But what does the year ahead hold for markets here and across the region, especially with the possible headwinds from continued U.S.-China trade tensions and also a possible slowdown in the world's second-largest economy? Today, to help us wrap up the year and to see what markets might have to expect in 2020, we're joined by Mr. Jimmy Tsu, Chief Market Strategist at Fullerton Markets, to tell us what he's looking forward to in the year ahead and also to help us recap the year that was. Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us and welcome back to the show.
Hi.
All right, Jimmy, so let's start off with how markets did and the year that was. It was a rather eventful one, of course, and despite, as we mentioned, all the headwinds, we actually saw many of these major markets doing quite well. In fact, the Dow and the S&P both hitting all-time highs. You saw the Shanghai actually up by about 22%. And even the Hang Seng, despite all of this uncertainty and turbulence, they also managed about a 10% year-to-date gain. Based on your opinion, how do you think markets actually did in 2019? Do you think they exceeded your expectations despite all of these headwinds? Or do you think this was a bit more of an underwhelming year for markets?
I think it surprised everyone. I mean, it's not only the stocks market. You look at the bond market, you also have a tremendous gain. The commodities, gold and silver, also have lots of gains. So I think there's a reason for the market to celebrate at this moment, as what we see is the U.S.-China trade tensions, the first time de-escalations actually since 2018 March. But I think that's not the main reason to push the market, you know, to all-time high in all the assets from different classes. Really, I think one of the key reasons, I believe, still the central banks, the global central banks easing this year, especially in the second half. And all the liquidities actually are going to everywhere. So, I think the two reasons. One is the hopes of de-escalation and the two sides may have a chance to reach the partial deal in next January. And also, I think the main reason, 80% of the reason, I believe, is because of the central banks easing.
So easing from central banks, but also this year, we heard a bit of grumbling from some of these leading monetary authorities about how the fiscal side or governments need to do their part also in providing stimulus on the fiscal side. Do you think that next year, though, the central banks and monetary policies will continue to be as accommodative, or do you think they'll start to become even louder in their complaints about the fiscal side of the equation doing their part and perhaps for governments to step in?
I think that's the major problem for next year. I mean, central banks, of course, they have the space. I believe they have the space to further ease the monetary policy if they want. But the thing is, you know, how much effective are these policies is still going to, you know, work in 2020 is still a big question. I mean, from the ECB, from the Federal Reserve, they seem like give the market signal that, you know, they don't really think the monetary policy itself works. So the problem goes to the fiscal policy. I mean, U.S. just announced the tax reforms in 2018, last year. So whether they have another big-scale fiscal stimulus, have the room to come out, I think it's a very big question. Also, next year is the election year. I don't think that, you know, the policy in U.S. will have a major change for next year. And on the euro side, I think despite the new ECB chief, Christine Lagarde, she wants the different, you know, countries to come out with the fiscal policy. But still, at this moment, I see there's no consensus. And back to Asia, I think there's a room for some countries to run the fiscal stimulus. But I think the size is still not huge enough, you know, to support the global growth. So without the policy support, I definitely think the policy support actually would be much less compared to 2019. But, you know, though the sense the monetary was still on the losing side, but it just, you know, it's kind of difficult to further run out, you know, the mega size stimulus like what we saw in 2019.
So if the stimulus won't be as generous, say, next year, as we saw in recent years, do you think that the 2020 might be a bit more underwhelming for equity markets? Or do you think there's still a case that there might be room for some of these stocks in these major markets from China, the U.S., and even here to actually rise? What's your opinion, Jimmy?
Yeah, I don't want to run against the trend. I mean, since the equity market is still, you know, heading to its bull run at this moment, so it's hard to predict. But look at the fundamentals. I mean, the stocks market next year, it will be very driven by the economic data. It's not really the central bank's easing. So, but regarding the economic data, we see the signs, you know, there's some manufacturing activities to picking up recently, but, you know, number one, the signs are not very clear, you know, whether this pickup is sustainable, like JP Morgan Global PMI, like China PMI, even the Eurozone PMI show some modest improving. But when we look at the BDI index, the BDI index to gauge the shipping activities, what we see is it spiked higher actually in second quarter. After that, it drops substantially from the third quarter and third quarter onwards. So that gives us the signal that, you know, there's probably some front-loading activities because, you know, the companies are worried of the tariffs, so they export or buying the products first. If that is the case, that actually dry up the export orders or import orders for next year, which is not a very good news for the manufacturing sectors. So moving forward in 2020, I'm still very cautious, you know, on the recovery of the global picture, especially when we are lacking of the central bank's support, at least for the first half of next year.
All right. Well, still speaking to Mr. Jimmy Chu of Fullerton Markets. Jimmy, I want to talk about one of the big talking points with regards to China, the Chinese economy and Chinese markets also, the issue about corporate bond defaults in the mainland, actually. And we also saw a number of banks like Hang Feng recently getting seized. Do you think that these possible default risks might actually rise in 2020? And are there any warning bells that perhaps economy watchers and market participants outside of China need to be aware of with regards to this and what's happening in China?
Yeah, I mean, the bond defaults, I mean, the credit defaults, actually, this stuff has been talking in China for about five to six years already since the first default, what we see in 2013. I don't see the scale of the default is going to be contagious, I mean, at this moment. And also, the policymakers, they still have the rooms, you know, further release the liquidities or cutting the interest rates, because, you know, what we see China this year, actually their monetary policy actually is not very aggressive compared to the rest of the markets. I think that is the credit default risk, I think, is still one of the least concern, at least not a major concern thing for Chinese economy at this moment. So I think the major concern here is still, I would say, one of the key sides is about the U.S.-China trade tension and, of course, the recovery in the manufacturing sectors. You know, if these two things can be eased, you know, and I do see the economy probably will have a modest recovery in 2020, but everything now still, there's no lots of visible evidence to prove that.
So, Jimmy, heading into next year, though, what is your strategy? What do you think are the biggest risks to possibly hedge against and your biggest opportunities as one of the chief shop callers actually at Fullerton Markets?
For next year, I think we still love the gold market at this moment. The reason is because we think, you know, since the global recovery isn't really solid at this moment, so what we see is despite the equity rally, but the people are still looking at the gold. It's very attractive sectors, you know, the very attractive assets. Number two is, you know, after the Fed stop cutting the interest rate. So when we see the rest of the central banks might also start to cutting the interest rate, because lots of banks, they simply follow the Fed. If that is the case, actually, which means the U.S. dollar probably will have a chance to weaken or at least to stay on the soft side, and that is going to further support the gold. For the equity rallies, I think to next year, I think probably the traders will become very cautious if the January global economic data doesn't meet the expectation. We believe, you know, there will be some unwinding positions or readjusting their positions into the first quarter next year.
And finally, Jimmy, you mentioned a while ago that maybe some easing and a bit of softness from the U.S. dollar. What does that mean then for the Chinese yuan, since this is one of those big thermometers we watch out for with regards to the U.S.-China trade war? What's your outlook on the yuan then?
The weakening U.S. dollar actually is not only a good news for China, it's a good news for the entire emerging markets, because their liquidity got a chance of improving. And if the dollar going to be weakened, we do see, you know, and also one of very important conditions is whether there will be a phase one deal signed, you know, in January or early February, which we have no clue at this moment, but if provided two of them reach the consensus and sign the agreement, and we think the Chinese yuan probably got a chance to move to 680, maybe in the first quarter, which I do see that, you know, this is good risk indicators, you know, to improve the risk sentiment in the region.
All right. Jimmy Tzu from Fullerton Markets, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and have a happy new year to you, Advance. We'll see you on the other side of 2020. Appreciate the time.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.